Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Bowmansville. I just want to read a couple of verses from 2 Corinthians as we open up, thinking about spiritual gifts and how God wants to use them to build the church up. And we're in this time when they are present with us, and we just want to allow that to be life-changing for us. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed us to the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on God's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God."
Well, I'd like to also welcome all of you and invite you to join us in worship. So you may stand if you like to worship that way. take the offering. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet calls, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, the battle Zion's hill, salvation come. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of grace. And these are the days of the
Okay, so let us pray. So, Father, we truly thank you for this morning. Thank you that we could be here, we could gather, we could be with one another. I just pray that you would truly be with us this morning. Just bring your presence. Just fill this room with your Holy Spirit, that we feel you. We feel your love, and any trials that we're going through, each one of us, bring each one of us that peace that we need. As this life can always and is always a challenge, so fill us with your love, your peace, your Holy Spirit, and just guide us through it all this morning and every day to come, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Serve, I'll serve.
Promise in their hearts.
desire to see the things of you, and indeed we do, in creation and all the things around us. We see you work and see your design. But Lord, give us strength and the eyes to see you when we don't see you, that we can walk by faith and not by sight, knowing that the promise you made to us, the covenant, is secure in Jesus' shed blood on the cross, that we can have faith in that, and no matter what, you will bring true and come through on your promise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Well, it's time for a children's story, so I invite you all to come up and have a seat up here. Jeff and John, don't bite, so you can pack them in. All right, I'm going to read you a story this morning. Still room for one more yet, but you have to come while the tickets are still here. This story is about a little girl that was 6 years old. Are any of you here six? Anybody? You're six? You're the only six-year-old here? Well, interesting note from my week this week that I got a call from my mom, and she said she was going through things in her house. You know what going through things is? I don't know if you know what that is or not, but she was going through things, and she found a letter that my kindergarten teacher gave me at the end of school. So I don't remember that letter at all. I don't know if I ever saw it. I do not know if my mom kept it from me because she thought it wouldn't be good for me to read it or what. But she said, next time I come, I'm going to get a chance to read this letter. So I'm going to find out. So that was when I was 5 years old, but this story took place in the city of Philadelphia, which is not too far from here, back in like 1902, somewhere in that time there. There was a little girl that wanted to go to Sunday school, but the Sunday school, the building was so small where the church was, and there wasn't enough room. Can you imagine that? There wasn't enough room for someone to get into Sunday school. But that's what the situation was. They didn't have money for a bigger building. The classes were so full and the church was so small that there was no room. She was very much disappointed. And although she was very poor, she began to save her pennies. Back then, a penny was worth a lot more. A penny was worth a lot. Now it's a small amount. But she saved her pennies so that the church might be built bigger, and that herself and other poor little children might have a place to go to Sunday school. So she had a good goal. She didn't tell anyone what she was doing, and nobody knew that she was saving a few pennies that were given her until a little later her pastor was called to her bedside because she was very sick. After a little while, God took her out of her sufferings, and after she had passed away, they noticed that underneath her pillow was something. Does anyone want to guess what was under there? Huh? Pennies. There was pennies under there. Do you keep pennies under your pillow? No. Okay, so they took her pillow up, and there was a little red pocketbook, and in it they found 57 pennies that she had saved up. And with it was a little scrap of paper, and was written the reason for why she saved her pennies. It was her great wish that she might help build a church where all the little children might have a place. So that pastor, when he conducted the funeral he told the story about the pocketbook and those 57 pennies. And it got into the papers, and the people read about it, and tears filled their eyes, just like they're filling mine right now. Exciting stuff. Our sermons that are about the gift, spiritual gifts, and the gift of giving is the one of the ones for today. And people that have the gift of giving just want to give. They want to find ways they can give. So that's what she was doing. The people gave the pastor money, and more money. And in 6 years, those 57 pennies have become $250,000. Today, if you go to Philadelphia, you will see this little girl's picture hanging on the wall in the temple, in the hall of Temple College, where over 1,400 students attend. This book was written a long time ago, where I got the story, and it seats 8,000 people. And connected with that church is a hospital for children called the Samaritan Hospital. There's also a Sunday school building there, which is so large that all the children who want to attend can come and are gladly welcomed. This is a story of Hattie Mae Waite and her 57 pennies. It's such a good story, it doesn't really need a sermon. I did some of the research on this from that, and the fascinating thing is when they had to buy more land to build a bigger church, and the guy that sold the land to him took the 57 pennies for the down payment. So I want to read another story from the Bible, and this is about two small copper coins too, which is what pennies had been made out of at one time. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. You see, back in this time, they didn't have offering plates they passed around like they do now. They had a box and everyone put their money in. And so Jesus, that was his house, and he was sitting there watching all the people come put their money in. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. And what did Jesus say? Calling his disciples to him, Jesus told them, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in everything that she had to live on. So I want you to remember that story, the little girl and the 57 pennies and the widow and the two pennies. And so to help you remember that, I got some pennies for you. So Claire, can you give each person two pennies out of here? You can just walk down and hand each person two pennies and then keep two for yourself, of course. You can give everybody two pennies. Yeah. All right, it's a generous day. Ann said there's enough for two snacks for everybody, too. So don't forget, once you get your two pennies, you can get your two snacks and go back. And you don't have to put them in the offering today because they're to help you remember which offering was the greatest. When I was in kindergarten, I was the only boy in the class with a class of girls. So I'm just trying to imagine what that letter might have to say. Thank you, Claire. All right, one of the questions Ann asked in the youth Sunday school class this morning was, If you could do any miracle that Jesus had performed, which one would you pick? And so I don't know if you think about which one you would pick, but the one I put down was the calming of the storm in the sea. I used that in my sermon last time I preached. But the cool thing is when you can take a disaster and by God's grace turn it into something valuable or useful or bring peace to the situation. So I have the ministry of reconciliation. I think it's one of the greatest things that we can do as God followers, as Christians, is to bring two opposing parties together, to bring an end to a disagreement, to bring peace in the midst of a storm. And so As we go into the study on spiritual gifts, I just want you to remember the spiritual gifts are not for our benefit. They're for the benefit that the body of Christ will be built up as a unit. And our different gifts are different, but just a reminder that it's not to make us special. It's for God's body to be built up. And so reconciliation through the use of our spiritual gifts is how I want to think about the gifts that I'll share about today. In studying for this, I came across this quote that a foot cannot go for a walk alone. It needs the rest of the body to go with it. There's no way one foot can go for a walk alone. So the gifts I'm talking about this morning are giving, evangelism, and missionary. And I already spent a little bit of time with the children talking about the widow's gift, that little girl's gift. And I just wanted to point out that giving, people with the gift of giving are, there's great joy in what they do. They don't do it carelessly, but they do it, they just, it's their passion to be able to do that. And as I looked over there in the overflow at the gifts that were given for the renovations we want to do to the for the facility upgrade, it's a reminder that there's people with a heart and a gift of giving. I remember when first talked about this, we made these little blocks of wood for gifts that would be needed to make up the total amount. And one person said, don't forget the $20,000 ones, you know. There's people that just want to give that. And that's an important understanding. They think of ways they can give. And I came across this quote a long time ago, probably when I was a young adult. It says, it's not what you would do if a million came to your lot. It's what you're doing right now with the buck and the quarter that you've got. Those are the things that define us as people. So people with the gift of giving want to draw others to join them. They oftentimes are people that provide matching grants for fundraising kinds of things, or they don't do it for a show, but they do it to encourage other people to catch the same vision. They often go beyond the logical. It does not always make sense. They give when it doesn't make sense. And the story I have about that is pretty many years ago now, there was churches over in Ethiopia, in Africa, I think it was Ethiopia, but just say Africa, that they needed roofs to build their churches. The church was growing fast. And many people gave money from here, gave money to put roofs on churches. And the leaders from the churches over there had come to the United States and they wanted to meet one of these donors that had given a large amount of money to do that, just to thank him. And the donor didn't really want to be recognized, but they wanted to do this, and so he agreed they could come and thank him. So they were all dressed up in their suits, and they were taken to this farm. It was a hog farmer, and he was out working with his hogs, and they were not prepared at all for who they were going to meet. And they said, why did you give so much? They said he was out working with his hogs. He had patches on his pants and whatever else. And the guy said, it never really was mine. And I think that's one of the things that people with a gift of giving can help us all to understand, that what we have never really is ours. And when we put money in the offering, it's not because God doesn't have enough money. I can't hardly believe that would ever be the case. It's because we have to learn how to let go and release things that we think are ours, and that's all part of our spiritual act of worship. So people with the gift of giving help the rest of us to come to that place where this is what we want to do, where's an opportunity. And I'd just like to read some verses from 2 Corinthians 8, 1-7. 2 Corinthians 8, 1-7 is when Paul was talking about giving in the Macedonians. And what I have up on the screen says, they urgently pleaded for the privilege to share in this service of giving. 2 Corinthians 8:1 says, "And now, brothers, we want you to know about this grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches." Paul refers to this gift as a grace. "Out of the most severe trials, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." How does that happen? Not by the logical, but by the supernatural work of God in us. "They welled up in rich generosity, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for a privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do it as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us in keeping with God's will. And so we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to also bring to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, speech, and knowledge, in complete earnestness and love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." So just wanted to say that the givers, the people that have the gift of giving, are an inspiration to the rest of us. And that's not because of who they are, it's because of who they are in Christ and how the Holy Spirit has helped them to do that. And as I already said, the poor widow put her 2 copper coins in the treasury, put more in than all the others. So that's briefly what I have about giving. The next one I have is about evangelists. And so when I think of evangelists, I think about a bridge that needs to be built between the evangelist and the listener. Because the evangelist has a message, but maybe no one wants to hear it. He has to make some kind of an effort to make that connection and help the listener want to hear. He needs some kind of a motivation or some kind of a direction from God where to go, and also something he has to do or she has to do, and also how God's word is brought into that. I remember our son was driving from California to PA. Well, the first time he went out to work with One Voice, and someone came along with him, just needed a ride to the East Coast. And he said every time he stopped at a gas station or a grocery store or whatever, this person was in telling someone about Jesus. And he said, "Dad, I never experienced anything like that before. This person must have had the gift of evangelism." That he said, "I'd be going to pay my gas, and there they were praying with someone. The people were crying, and they were repenting of their sins." And he said, "That doesn't usually happen to me when I go to the gas station, but it only took this person along, and that's what happens." And so that can encourage another person to say, you know, maybe I can. Maybe I'm not gifted like that, but maybe I can say something to someone. So let's all turn to Acts chapter 8 and hear how it was for Philip. It's Acts 8:26-40. And just a reminder again that these gifts are given us for reconciliation and to build bridges and to build the whole body of Christ up. Verse 26 says, "Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.'" Notice the work of the Holy Spirit in this situation. "Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" So he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in the towns. Bridges needed to pass an idea, thought, or truth from a believer to an unbeliever. That's one of the things that an evangelist does. And then has a job of coming to an agreement, of helping the person come to an agreement of acceptance. Agreement and acceptance where there has been separation and alienation. Whether that's between two parties or whether that's between a person and God, the evangelist has the opportunity to do that. So there was divine direction of the Spirit telling Philip to go down that road. There was personal action of Philip going and also getting up beside the chariot. There was God's word being explained. And in that time, a listener's response. And finally, there's great joy. I have a note here in my Bible that great joy, it reminds me of the same time as when the wise men came and found Jesus after following the star. It says they just had great joy. The Holy Spirit's work brings great joy. It doesn't mean everything is fun and easy, but it brings great joy. Years ago, I was at a youth retreat, and I've been talking on Saturday night with a parent and about one of their children and how they were struggling in school. And this is just a story about relying on the Holy Spirit. That as I thought about the whole situation, I thought, I don't know what to do. I went through my usual discussion of explaining to somebody that when someone wasn't doing their homework 10 times out of 10, and now they were doing it one time out of 10, even though they didn't do it 9 times, that's still improvement. But it didn't seem like that was answering the question good enough. And I was assigned to go out and talk to this person and see what I could do on my earthly strength to change the situation, to encourage them or whatever. I had no idea how I was going to do that. I walked outside and went for a walk just to think. And I walked through the woods and I came to this person and two other guys sitting there around a campfire. And they had knives and they were carving things on sticks. And I know with all the policies we have that my job right there at that point in time is to say, you guys can't have knives here and you're have to go home or whatever the situation is. But I just felt like the Spirit led me out here, and the Spirit brought me into this situation. I didn't know what I was going to do, and I actually still don't know what I'm going to do, but I feel like making a big scene about this is not the answer. So the first thing that came to my mind, which is not always the best, but the first thing that came to my mind is, I said, "Do you have a knife for me?" And what do you know? In a matter of minutes, I had a knife, a big knife of my own, and could sit and carve, and we sat and carved for about an hour, and no agenda. They were just talking about whatever they were talking about, and I chipped in here and there. And at the end, we all went to bed, and I thought, wow, I was going to do something great, and I missed it. I didn't even address the situation. So a couple weeks later, I talked to the parent, and they were saying, yeah, whatever I did, They said, students doing great and getting their homework done regularly and getting good grades. And I'm like, okay, one more thing for my God Help Me notebook. You know, you put it in there, you do what God tells you to do, and God works something out. All I know is that that's the way I want to live. And stories like this that I just shared with you and stories about Philip is those times when being open to the Holy Spirit do make something that doesn't seem logical. Trusting God to do in and around what you do to change someone's life. And that is something that brings great joy. So the third one I want to talk about this morning is the evangelist. And I was trying to think, what's the difference between a missionary and an evangelist? And I thought, well, I didn't just think, but that one of the differences of a missionary is going to another culture. Now, an evangelist might do that too, but a culture that's not your own. These days, you don't have to go very far to be in a culture that's not your own. But that's the evangelist has the ability to take a truth and capsulize it, cross it over, and not take culture along, but take the truth along and put it in a new culture and make it work there so that people can understand and can receive God's blessing and can receive salvation or can receive encouragement, can receive something from God. So a missionary is a distinct ability to minister effectively in cultures beyond their own. So the ability to distinguish between the truth of God's word and a tribal custom. And this story is an interesting one, and I don't know if I have it exactly right, but some of you may have heard of Don Jacobs. He went to Africa and wanted to be a missionary. He liked his work, but one of the things that really he didn't care for was everything being brown. He was used to having green grass, and it was just all ground, so brown. So he thought, there's got to be a way you can grow grass in Africa. So he researched it, and he talked to someone over here in Pennsylvania, and he got the right grass seed for the heat and all that kind of stuff, and he got fertilizer to put on, so he grew this really nice grass out in front of his house. Everywhere else it was brown, but in front of the missionary's house it was nice and green. Well, this stuff grew, and then he had to get a lawnmower to chop it down, so he ordered a lawnmower and had it sent over. And just when it was getting really growing, he went out and mowed it all short. And the tribal people came and said, "You Americans make no sense." He said, "You work so hard. You spend all that money. It didn't serve any purpose. But when it finally grew, you just went out and chopped it off." So he kind of saw that he was a little bit making a fool out of himself, but he was a quick thinker. And he said, "Well, let me explain to you. Where I come from, all the men of the town do this. They grow grass all week, and at the end of the week, they mow it off, and then they sit on the front porch and drink lemonade and say, this is just what we do as men." He said, "In America, this is our tribal custom." And he said, "I happen to bring my tribal custom over here with me. That's not what I'm trying to share with you. I'm trying to share with you the truth of God's word." A missionary is able to distinguish between the truth of God's word and a tribal custom. So, in our challenge, in our congregation, as we work with many people in our community that we didn't have to travel across the ocean to meet, but their tribal customs are different than ours. And how do we separate, how do we allow the missionaries among us, the people with the gift of missions, gift of missionaries, to help us separate what are our tribal customs and what is the truth that matters, and how do we put that together as we reconcile with our neighbors and our own community here. So the scripture context that was given to me had Paul, all the references about missionaries were Paul. But as I thought about what I just said to you guys, that, by the way, if you don't know, it's snowing outside, and you're not to look out because that looks nice. The principle is all through the Old Testament about missionaries. I mean, how many of you think of Jonah as a missionary? He was a rather unwilling missionary, but didn't he carry a message of God's truth across to a different culture and put it in a way that they could understand it, and didn't, and had his tribal custom and their tribal custom, and the whole nation like turned around and repented? Jonah was a missionary. What about Abraham? He left his country to go to it, left his culture to go to another culture, didn't even know where he was going. How would you like that to be your mission assignment? You're called to go to, yeah, just go. That's what Abraham did, a place that God was going to show him. He was at it for, I don't know when he started, but he was almost 100 years old when he saw any results of what he was trying to do. Then there was Noah, also carrying a message of redemption and salvation to a culture that was not the same culture as his. What about Joseph? Joseph, against his will, was sent to be a missionary. It wasn't even the goal of the mission sending agency to have that happen, but that's what happened. He took the truth of God to another culture, and he maintained his integrity as a person, even in another culture, even being tempted severely. These are examples of missionaries. And Jacob and Daniel, I was going to highlight. The amazing thing about Daniel was he was a missionary, and many foreign countries nowadays don't want missionaries because it affects it. They don't want a Christian influence in their country. But the thing about Daniel is he was a missionary to three or four different countries. Like one country would take over another country, and then they would say, well, we want to keep Daniel. So what's it like to be called to missions, and they hire you to be there and to be their leader, and you have great influence, and when that whole kingdom is conquered, they say, the next people that conquered that kingdom says, hey, I want you to be my leader as well. All I want to say is that if God can do that in these people who have the gift, the Holy Spirit's gift of missionary, he can do that for us people with the Holy Spirit's gift of missionary. We can be invited and called to be in places where we have great influence, and we can, you know, separate our customs from their customs, but carry with us the truth of God's word into those situations. It's not what we do, but it's what God does. Our lesson this morning was about the spies going over to spy on Jericho or on the land of Canaan to see if they were able to take it in. And I get funny ideas sometimes. But I was sitting in Sunday school this morning. I was thinking about the spies that went over the first time and the spies went over the second time. The spies went over the second time had their giant melt with them, because when they got there, the Bible says the giants were melting with fear because they heard about God's people. So what I want to tell you is, as you think of, is God calling me, giving me the gift of missionary, you got to make sure you take your giant melt along, because if you don't have that your giant melt is the Holy Spirit, God working ahead of you before you get there. If you don't have that, it's going to be challenging. These all ministered effectively in cultures beyond their own. And so just to wrap up this morning, I want to say that God, gave his Holy Spirit to empower us to use the gifts to build up the body of Christ. We can't do it on our own. We have to have vision of things that are impossible for us to do and have God help us with those things and keep some kind of track of those things and tell stories to others. It is telling that story of things that happen again that gives us new faith to go and try new things that we think we're not able to do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we thank you that you give us front row seats to see your Spirit work. You give us examples in the past, in Scripture. You gave us examples in history. and you give us examples in our own lives. And I just pray that the pennies the children got today, that the visions that we got today about what God could do in us would grow in each of us together as we grow together as a church to carry out the mission that God has for Bowmansville Mennonite Church. In Jesus' name, amen.
So one of the things about church rules is that they're very clear. The name is exactly what you're supposed to do. So as worship leaders, we're supposed to lead people in worship of God. And another thing that I try and do, and some of the other worship leaders try and do, is they look ahead at the sermon and try and pick songs that connect. And that's not a requirement, but it's something that I try and do. Anyhow, I was thinking, where do songs talk about missionaries and evangelists? And you boiled down how, even though those are two categories of gifts, each one of us can do that in our place, and how other people encourage us to do that. And one of the things that those people are all trying to share is the truth. One of the fundamental truths is about Jesus' work on the cross and how it provides salvation. And we call that the gospel. And in this song, the gospel is called the story. And just talking about how we love to tell the story to any variety of people, people that know and people that don't know, and how it brings peace and reconciliation. So I'd invite you to stand and sing with us.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love.
Than all the gold and fancies.
Thanks, worship team, for that fitting songs and the other songs. Thanks for gathering to worship. And as we leave here, allow the Spirit to help you keep your tribal customs and evaluate, appreciate them, and also carry the story with the truth to the people that need to hear it. You're dismissed.